This is Hash It Out with Jay.
Is a podcast that supports independent thought, personal responsibility, and social consciousness. Happy 40th birthday to me, Jay and Hash. Thank you for downloading this very exciting episode of Hash It Out with Jane. Matt Frazier from American Horror Story Freak Show is here to celebrate with me. Get comfortable and I'll be right back with Matt Frazier. Matt Frazier, thank you for hashing it out with me today.
It's a delight, Jane, and this is actually the first time we've spoken, so I'm thrilled that it's going to be one of your recordings.
I'm very excited, and I'm also excited because I am very likely going to meet your beautiful wife this weekend.
You are?
She is one of the headlining acts for an event that I'm going to. And I'm hoping it wasn't a misprint. She is Julie Atlas Muse.
Yeah. What event?
The Theater Bazaar in Detroit.
Okay. Yeah, she's doing Theater Bazaar, as are many of my friends. But yes, Julie, we did it together a couple of years ago, but she's doing it this year solo. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
If you have a chance to meet her, do say that, you know, we're buddies. Although from what I remember of that melee, it was quite difficult to keep any plans with any people because there's so many people that it gets real crazy.
I can imagine. It looks very chaotic and exciting. And, you know, they're only doing it for my birthday party. That's what I've convinced myself of.
By the way, happy birthday. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I get to spend my birthday with you today.
And are you going with anyone to Theatre Bazaar?
I am. I am going with my significant other and one of my assistants. And, you know, I am not what most of these caregivers are accustomed to, but I think we have given her enough preparation that she will not be frightened.
No, it's not about her. Yeah, good. She may need to stay close to you, from what I remember. In some of those areas, it can get pretty stuffed with crazy people in Detroit. You know what that's like.
Yes, yes. So enough about me. Let's talk about all the exciting things you have going on. Tell us about your newest exciting role on television.
It's funny for me, Jane. You know, I've been working in sideshow. I mean, I'm an actor. I've been an actor since 97. About once every 5 years, I get a TV job in Britain. And everybody goes, oh, it's really exciting. Things are going to change. And I do my thing, and it's great. My Twitterage goes up a bit. And some more people try to friend me on Facebook. And then a year later, I'm back on the stage with the Bethnal Green Working Men's Club, my favorite London cabaret jaunt, naked and covered in fake blood again, doing another kind of cabaret performance, thinking, hey-ho, back to abnormality. So this may be a game changer because, you know, 6 million people watched the first episode. But I have every reason through experience to think that, you know, again, in about a year's time, I'll be back on the stage of the Slipper Room in New York, partially naked and covered in fake blood, you know. So, but that, my cynicism aside, it's a very gratifying moment in my life because I've always known that this would happen at some point. And in working in sideshow, as I've done since 2000, I was always aware that at some point a high-budget drama would have the balls to cast real physically disabled people in the role of freaks. And I'm just lucky to be around still when that actually happened. And I'm thrilled to be in the show. There's been a lot of talk, a lot of smack talking before and after the first episode. A lot of people from my world of cabaret, burlesque, sideshow, etc. But I'm confident that once they've seen the next second, third, fourth episodes, that they'll realize that this is a new thing. It's a horror series that never intended to show reality. It's a stylized genre that uses aspects of our culture and spices it up for the viewing public, you know. That's what they're doing. So everybody can chill out and just enjoy it. I think everyone's going to have a really good rocketing ride of a time on this show.
I watched the first episode and I love it. Which episode do they focus on your character? Like, you made an appearance, but we didn't
yes,
really...
Yes, I'm an appearance actor for 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go and get a little bit of, like, my character background and a bit of, you know, exposition from my character, which is in the Halloween episode. And, oh, my God, people scared of clowns and that whole area of Halloween, please be careful watching it. The episode 4 on Halloween, it's really scary. But my big episode thus far, because I've only read up to episode 8, they're still writing episode 9 as we speak, and because they do it on the fly, which is exciting, my biggest episode is episode 6.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character?
I can. I can't tell you what happens plot-wise, because... Mm-hmm. That's just not cool to spoil the fun.
Correct.
But yes, my character is British. He comes from a kind of depressed background. The tattoos are part of that historic problem with society and its inability to treat the character like an equal because of his impairment, what we might call disability in a social context. he finds his way. He comes to America because he watches the movies in Britain. And anything more than that, I can't really divulge. But so he's a Brit, dabbled in the sideshows in Britain, found his way to America, you know.
And they call him the Painted Seal.
They call him Paul the Illustrated Seal. Yes.
Okay. I don't understand the seal part.
Okay, well, my disability, my impairment, yeah, these arms... phocomelia, the medical term is phocomelia, and this means seal-like limbs, which is to intimate that when you look at the skeletal structure, our limbs are more like the skeletal flippers of a seal in structure than the longer articulated arm and hands and humerus bone with the radius and ulna of most traditionally shaped human beings. So in sideshow, if you're a little bit like an animal in terms of bone, you become that. So you're CeeLo the Seal Boy or Matt the Seal Boy. And I've been Matt the Seal Boy since 2000. You know, I researched a guy who had arms like mine called CeeLo the Seal Boy, who was a freak show entertainer from 1929 to 1983, amazingly. Sorry, 1979. And I learned and researched his act, and I do that as an historical homage act, as well as doing my own stuff. When I came to... American Horror Story, they had already written in a character called the Lizard Man or the Illustrated Guy, and he was basically the Lizard Man. And I was like, but I'm not a lizard, I'm a seal. If you want me to do it, it has to be called the Seal Boy. And they're like, Illustrated Seal Boy? They're like, meeting me halfway. I'm like, okay, we can do that. But I won't, and we agreed on that. Now, of course, my good buddy, this is important, my good buddy, Jason Brock, a.k.a. Jason the world's most illustrated penguin, used to be called the Penguin Boy, now he's the Illustrated Penguin, quite rightly had misgivings about my character, feeling that it had you know, been ripped off to find a point on it, off him. And, you know, they may have been aware of him. I believe they were aware of him. We can't use any modern primitives, people with piercings and holes in their face and modern tattoos, because it's set in 1952. Where that stuff didn't exist. For example, women didn't have any tattoos in 1952, so we can't use any of those as extras. So whilst they wouldn't have used them, I think they were aware of them, and it is entirely possible that they thought that they might use that, having seen him, although illustrated people, so-and-so the Illustrated Man and Woman, as sideshow entertainers, tattooed people, have been around since the birth of photography, since the mid-1800s at least. However, I think it's fair to acknowledge that Jason, the Illustrated Seal, is the real illustrated sideshow performer. and that Paul the Illustrated, sorry, Jason the Illustrated Penguin is the real illustrated performer, and that Paul the Illustrated Seal is just a fictional character.
So you just play one on TV.
Yeah, although I am a seal boy when I do Sideshow, and I have been since the year 2000.
What words of wisdom would you attempt to share with those watching this show that only see, oh my God, these poor people are being exploited?
So those people,
yes,
I would say, and look again, you know, we're exploited when we use for charity advertising, when we use for the constant imagery of keeping us lesser and pitiful as a way to elicit pity and charity feelings from non-disabled people. Freak shows, for all their exploitational qualities, and nobody's denying that the concept of coming to see a performer just to look at their body is an objectification, which means an exploitation. We're not denying that. But at a time when there was no employment opportunity for people with Paul the Illustrated Seal's physique in 1952, the idea of being fiscally independent, living in a community where you're treated as an equal, and having a kind of rock and roll lifestyle on the road, would have been enormously attractive to many disabled people. And so before you start flying around talking about exploitation, talk about the fact that there are 30, the percentage of New York taxis that are wheelchair accessible is something pathetic, like 5%. In the year when we're coming up to the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Now that's exploitation of employers refusing to pay to access for their disabled customers. That's much more exploitative to me than showing history, which is all we're doing on the show.
Fantastic answer.
Or, fuck you. How about that? To those people, I also say, fuck you.
I can see situations where both of those responses could work. It just depends on the audience.
Yeah. And, you know, Sarah Paulson and me were talking. She was like, oh, my God, I've got to go on Letterman. What if they asked me about freaks? And I'm like, well, just, you know, girl, you were the bitch in 12 Years a Slave. Flay the skin off her back, you know. And black actors, I know you call them African-American in America, but I'm British, and we don't find it politically disavowed or non-aligned to black equality to call people black. So I'll, but know that I'm saying it as a Brit, and I'm aware, I don't want to be offensive to anyone, to my allies. But black actors are very happy to portray their own history of slavery. Wouldn't it be kind of weird if it was white people black facing up to play the slaves? Well, in the same way, you know, isn't it about time we got to play ourselves in our own history?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So when you're on the set, it has got to be difficult to concentrate sometimes because you're surrounded by such an interesting and diverse cast.
Yep. Well, so our trailers are freezing. They're like fridges. And then most of the time, it's like a sauna outdoors. So you spend half your time trying not to sweat if you've got special makeup on, which I had, and then not trying to freeze to death in your trailer. So there's a lot of social time of hanging out with people. You know, filming is all about hurry up and wait. You hurry up to get ready, and then you wait for 5 hours to do a one-hour scene. And in that 5 hours, you know, I might talk to, you know, Evan Peters about the difference between poison ivy and poison oak, which he kindly educated me on. I cajoled Jessica Lange the other day, told her that her singing voice is so awesome, she should do her own album. You know, there's a lot, and, you know, I hang out with the other disabled a lot as well. You know, I've become real good buddies with Rose, who plays Legless Susie, her boy, and me, Luke, he's 15. We go training at martial arts 4 times a week together because he's on set with her. Erica, who plays Amazon Eve, and me are, you know, we're like ladies who lunch on our days off. Sometimes we go and have lunch together and shoot the breeze and shoot the shit, but the second half of the day, about how here we are, freakishly different outsider artists, suddenly thrust into a mainstream sort of spotlight, and how weird it is, and how the hell are we going to negotiate it?
Now, you're not just a pretty face in Hollywood. You are a very talented musician.
Well, that's kind of you to say so. I am a musician. I don't know how talented I am, but yeah. I've been a musician all my life. I was a drummer in rock, speed, punk, and thrash metal bands, and then a dub reggae band for the first 17 years of my adult life before I woke up and realised I hadn't earned a cent from it. And then at the age of 35, I should probably go and get a job. So I chose the only job more difficult to get a success and exposure in for a disabled person than being a musician, and that's being an actor. Because obviously, I didn't feel life was enough of a struggle.
I understand. So is your ideal character maybe to play a musician?
You got it, Jane. That's one of the things I dream of, is to play a drummer in a drama, because I am a not bad drummer. You know, I mean, I'm pretty good rock drummer. And the actual close-up reality of watching the actor be able to play, I think you can't, there's no substitute for that. It's really exciting when the actor suddenly does do the thing. And so, yeah, I mean, anyone out there, I am dying to do that, really. There's a scriptwriter in Britain who's got a sort of sitcom about an old disabled death metal band called Crippled by God, which I put my name to, but suspect may encounter a few hurdles before its eventual success, if indeed it ever gets there. Because, you know, what do you want now? Says person with money. Well, I've got this great idea. Not too risky now. No, it's not risky. It's about a death metal band. cuts 90% of audience. Played by four disabled people. Cuts remaining 9% of audience. You know.
Right.
You know what it's like. I'm fucking amazed, Jane, that this happened. But it can, let's face it, it only happened because Ryan Murphy wanted it to happen. And he's Mr. Golden Hollywood right now, you know?
I'm really glad that he had the balls to just do this.
Right? Apparently people who told me, disabled politicky type activist-y people, have told me that his relationship in terms of his writing about and using disability storylines has matured throughout his relationship with TV, to the point where he's got to this, which I think is ironic and wonderful and creative and exciting. And I've met the guy quite copiously. He directed episode one and is coming back to do another one. He's one of those rare breeds. He's definitely a special creative with a different vision. And maybe all celebrate the fact that he has access to all that Hollywood money to make those things.
You brought up an interesting argument that has been a very hot topic within the disabled community for a while. Non-disabled actors being cast as disabled characters.
Yeah.
What's your two cents on that?
Well, before I get into trouble and never work for Ryan Murphy again, let me just say that the notion of a African-American the notion of a wheelchair user who to all intents and purposes looks the same as any other male wheelchair user to give that part to a non-disabled actor when clearly there will be at least 20 to 30 perfectly able to act and do the job disabled actors with that physique available left in the wings is not an ideal situation. And it's not one I can support on any level in this day and age. But finding a two-headed actor, Sarah Paulson's character has two heads. You know, we all know those two girls because we all saw the fucking documentary.
There's no way in hell they would do freak show.
And, you know, I know that people with ectrodactyly, which is the lobster claw condition proper name, have been auditioned because they were looking. And unfortunately, their acting was considered not to be up to the job. You know, people can say that that was an excuse, or that they can accept it. None of us are ever going to know, are we? So when it comes to this show, the cast, and also coupled with that, is that the regular stars, Jessica Lange, Evan Peters, Kathy Bates, Angela Bassett, and the likes, always play the characters. It's a repertory company, which means that we're doing a new story this year, folks. And this year, Kathy will be playing and Jessica will be playing, because they always get to play the main people. So there's an element of that. You know, I do have a very good friend who's a good performer, who's a woman with a beard called Jennifer Miller. You know, but I also understand why they felt that the main actors should get the parts. I'm kind of caught in between here, Jane, as you can imagine. I support what the casting of this show, but I cannot condone the casting of non-disabled actors in the roles of disabled characters when there are clearly many perfectly able actors with that disability condition impairment who could better portray the character. No one can argue that you're going to play an electric wheelchair user with your impairment with more authenticity than Miley Cyrus, if she decides that might be her next. You know, sure, yes. No doubt she got trained in Diz. You know, no doubt she'll do a really good stab at it, better than most able-bodied actors, perhaps. But it's never going to be the same, is it?
No, you know. No.
So, yeah, guys, stop playing us.
Right.
Go get your own job. That's kind of what I feel. Although, you know, there are always exceptions to the rules, and many times you have to take each individual case as it comes along. And this freak show one clearly is not something you can throw generic arguments at, because it's a special case.
It is. It is. Now, you've been interviewed a lot lately, and I read, I don't remember if it was on social media, but somewhere where you indicated that your quotes may have been misconstrued. Is there anything you'd like to clear up? Because it's your voice, I'm not quoting you. Any misconceptions or misquotes that you'd like to clear the air on?
It was just interesting that when the commercial press grabbed hold of the interview that Ryan Murphy, who had been an investigative journalist before he was in showbiz, asked me the questions of and then edited the answers into that very fine trailer that you see, Are the Power of the Edit. And he did a good job, but he did the job he wanted to do. And that's his prerogative. He's the director. He can mold it all however he wants, and he did it very well. Somebody then, some paper was like, the doctors expected her to do this, but I bet they didn't expect her to do that. And I'm like, wow, that is some heavy conjecture to take from something that I never even said was that. I don't think any of us can really know what the doctors were thinking back in 1962 in the hospital that my mother gave birth to me at. So let's all stop presuming that we can. Although they won't, will they? And I was reminded, Jane, especially with the shagging thing, actually. Now, I do want to say about the shagging. I'm not that good at shagging. Just ask my wife. I mean, God, I have my moments. Like everyone, but I also have my shitty moments too. We can't turn out a brilliant one every time, you know. I only said it because I wanted to wake people up. And the way to wake people up, if you're disabled, is to talk about sex, because they do not expect it or like it.
Absolutely. I have learned that is true.
And anyone is, you know, I mean, golly, I don't know. It's a tough one, isn't it? We don't know what the doctor said when they gave me to my mum, and I'm no better at shagging than any other person who's married to a really hot woman who likes to have sex a lot.
She's a lovely lady. I'm very excited to meet her, or at least see her.
She's a rock, and she's a really good performer in her own right. And, you know, there's a lot of focus on me at the moment. But, guys, what some of the work she's done is spectacular. And indeed, you know, what we just did together, that's the whole reason I got this, Jane. So we did our version of Beauty and the Beast in December in London. Smashed it. Sold it out. Went nuts. And we did the same show in London, in New York in March. Again, smashed it. Got the best ever review from the New York Times. Somebody read the review, went to the show, and then contacted her friend, a TV producer, saying, aren't you doing a project that's looking for freaky actors? I just saw this guy on stage. He was really good. And that's how I got the audition. But the, which is amazing, coincidental wonderfulness. But Beauty and the Beast, the show with me and my wife Julie, is a glorious affair, and it's part of our heart because one of us, which is our production company, produced it, and we're very proud of it. And we're in negotiation with some people in San Francisco to maybe do it there, and we're going to Australia to do it in February, and hopefully bring it to more of the world. You know,
I saw clips of it on YouTube. And it was intriguing.
Clips of a live art version, and which we did beforehand. And I haven't checked for the new version. I hope there aren't clips of the nudie ones, because we're naked for quite a lot of the show.
Yeah, I don't remember any nudity. They were very short clips, but enough to get my attention and make me want to see more. I do hope you do bring it to the U.S. and... Do it in Ohio, because Ohio is such a happening place, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. We'll go where we're invited. I mean, it's a kind of expensive show. It's a big theatrical production. You know, in cabaret, we can usually get into a theatre, do a show, and all said and done, the venue didn't have to spend more than like $3,000 or $4,000. But this theatre stuff, we're up in the $25,000-$30,000 sort of place. You know, it's a completely different thing.
Sure. So what's next? And are you tired of people asking you what's next?
No, I'm never tired. I'm like, I don't know, bring it on. You tell me, people. You know, I have desire to perform. We'll travel. All job offers accepted. you know, I'm trying to keep myself free, but I'm not one of those actors that can sit around waiting for the phone not to ring. So, of course, I write. And because there aren't enough, you know, here's the thing. Would you like to do Shakespeare? I could. I have done. I've done Puck. But God damn it. How many more times have I got to watch Shakespeare? You know, I want to see new drama with new voices talking about new things that shake society up. And of course my thing's disability. There aren't enough writers who write well about disability. Most of the famous works about disability are ill-informed shit, basically, by non-disabled people who didn't know what they were talking about. And the audience just respond to all the cliches that they've been brought up to, you know, respond to, like Pavlovian dogs. And it's just not good enough. So I'm here to help change it. I want to. So everything I write, I'm currently writing a comedy for 5 actors that's set in a really shitty British Elvis convention. And I'm also writing Freak Blood, which is my great homage to the world of sideshow, zombies, strippers, freaks. And I basically try to stuff every shocking image that I've ever seen and thought of into one film idea. I reckon I can get it made for $250,000. I mean, it would be better for $500,000, but for sure. We can make it for that. I have the venue, Coney Island, USA. I have all the actors. Well, there's a couple I need to get in the West Coast. Looking for cameos from my friends like Kim Cattrall and people like that. You know, I can't give them anything but, you know, a taxi to Coney Island. I play some cheesy fries from Nathan's. Slap on the back from my flipper as thanks. But I'm hoping to make that. That would be really great if I could make that, because I think a record needs to be made of all the incredible performers who are out there at the moment in this day and age. And it would serve as a timepiece that we don't have enough of. Freaks... The film was a wonderful timepiece, but it was in bloody 1932. And we haven't really had one that checks in that heavyweight way since then. I mean, obviously, American Horror Stories taking a lot from Freaks and the book Geek Love by Catherine Dunn. But I would love to do that, Freak Blood. So I'm going to be probably doing the thing I hate the most, which is a Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign. At the end of, you know, early next year, once we've hopefully capitalized on all the publicity from this show. And if you want to come and have a cameo in it, maybe you'd like to play a zombie. Well, you never have enough disabled zombies in zombie films.
I would love it.
Like, I've only ever seen one disabled zombie in any zombie film ever, and that was in Shaun of the Dead, the comedy, where there was a wheelchair user who was a zombie.
Now,
I was like, I like that, because we would become zombies too, right?
Yes. Now, I'm wondering, if you're a zombie, is that a disability?
Well, I think viewed through the lens of a non-zombie, it would absolutely be a disability. But, you know, what about the zombie's point of view, Jane? You know?
Right, I might be, like, discriminating.
You've got rights too. Say, no, I'm fucking that. I think it is a disability, but not in the way that we understand them.
Right.
Like, I see a blind zombie. What about a deaf zombie who's trying still to sign, but can't quite manage how to do it? That would be so funny and awesome to see.
And, you know, I can't think of anything more scary than a zombie wheelchair user, because zombies eat human flesh, right? Can you see where I'm going with this?
I'll totally see where you're going, yeah. Wow. And if there's like speedy zombies in the new science, in the new films, so they're like, zombies on crack, like from 28 and weeks later. I prefer the old slow zombies because you can get away from them.
Right, because...
Have you seen Cockney versus Zombies?
No.
They use old-fashioned zombies, like the slow, dribbling ones. But there's a great chase scene in an old people's home where there's an old guy on a Zimmer frame trying to run back to the common room, but it's painfully slow because he's like 90, with the zombie like chasing him. The whole thing's like a slow-motion chase scene. It's really funny.
Oh, that's great.
We done, sorry, caffeine.
But yes, you let me know when you're ready for me to be your zombie.
You got it.
So now that you are famous in the U.S. and people want to follow your work and see what you're doing, how do they do that? How do they stalk you properly without you calling the authorities?
Okay, well, they can follow me on Twitter, which is @Matt_Fraser. They can go to my website, www.mattfraser.co.uk, or they can visit my fan page on Facebook, which I recently set up. Well, I set it up like 3 years ago and then did nothing. And now, of course, suddenly I'm inundated with requests, so people can go there. There's another guy called Matt Fraser with the same spelling as mine who looks like an MMA fighter or like weightlifter. So if I'm getting any aggressive posts, I'm just going to pass them on to him, okay?
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Is there any final thoughts you would like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah. I don't know what your listenership's like, Jane.
They're diverse.
They're probably a mix of all sorts of people, right?
Uh-huh.
Disabled, white, African-American, Asian, old, young, all sorts, crazy people, people who... are worried they might be crazy, people who are proud that they're crazy, all sorts. And we all know, don't we, listeners, that there are no two people alike. Nature, who's my goddess, knows it doesn't make two things alike. Even identical twins are a little bit different in some ways. And we just need to be aware that when we say, that's not normal, we're really saying nothing, because normality doesn't exist. It's a construct that's so ridiculous. We should all just accept that we're all different and equal in our difference, and we should all try and help each other achieve our equality. The end.
Well, thank you, Matt. Congratulations on all your success. And
thank you.
Thank you for being the change we need.
I'm just one of the army. The terracotta army of people who want the world back, because knowing that 24 people own half the world's wealth is the most obscene thing I think I've ever heard in my life. I have no idea what that's got to do with what I was saying earlier, but it feels like it has, somehow.
It has. Because we are changing things.
We are. So I'm not the change, but I'm part of the change, and I always want to be part of the change, yes. And you are too.
Yes.
You know, it's great that I finally get to meet you and talk to you, because I kind of was aware of you on Facebook from some postings. We must have mutual friends, and slowly we circle around each other like planets in an orbit, and then suddenly, bang, here we are. And it happens to be on your podcast, so I'm really pleased about that. Or is it a radio show? Sorry.
It is a podcast. It started a radio show, and I don't follow rules and regulations very well, so I had to go off on my own so that if I wanted to say fuck, I could. Because sometimes you just have to.
Sometimes you have to say fuck.
You do. And sometimes you have to fuck. And, you know, and I couldn't talk about things as passionately as I like to. But thanks, Matt. And okay. I'll send you this link in a little bit.
Okay. Take care. Speak soon.
You
Bye.
Too. For more information about topics and people discussed in this episode, visit my blog at hashitoutwithjourney.blogspot.com. If you have any comments, questions, or you just want to tell me how amazing I am, send me an email at hashitoutwithjourney@gmail.com.